Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting from the Planet FM studio in Auckland. Greetings to listeners in the Auckland area on a Wednesday night. Greetings to people listening in Wellington, Kapiti Coast, and Christchurch on Saturday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz, indeed around New Zealand and in further afield in Ireland and other places all around the world. Oliver Lee is my name, and the programme, as always, brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group. And wherever you listen tonight, I hope you'll be able to stay with me for the next hour. We're going to have a chat to Tony Allen, who's the Allen from the Foster and Allen, who are touring New Zealand at the moment. And I went along to see them on Monday night in Auckland, and there was nearly a full house there. I know they're playing to full houses around New Zealand, and if you're going to see them over the next few weeks, I'm sure you'll enjoy their concert. But we'll have a chat to Tony and talk about the tour and when they started and how long they've been on the road. Well, they've been on the road over 40 years. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland and here in New Zealand. The weather has improved since the storms last week, and certainly a bit of an improvement in the weather in Ireland as well. So hopefully there'll be a really nice summer over there. And to start the programme tonight, we have All Along the Wild Atlantic Way with Aoife Scott.
Counting down the days, when will you bring me my on along the wild Atlantic way.
Yes, opening up the programme tonight, Aoife Scott there, All Along the Wild Atlantic Way. And Aoife was here in New Zealand this time last year, and she put on a little small concert, and I remember, and played some of her big hits, including that one, All Along the Wild Atlantic Way. Well, let's hope that the weather is improving over there. Certainly a little bit better weather than it was over the last few weeks, and that'll be good news to the farming community in Ireland, as many of them, especially in the west and northwest, were running out of foodstuffs due to a real long winter. Well, some of the headlines in the Irish papers today claims that the Scout body could face extinction. The government announced at the weekend that it was putting a halt to the €1 million it gives to the scouting organisations every year as an investigation into abuse is being investigated. And Taoiseach said until a full, thorough investigation has been carried out, no further funding the Scout movement, which is obviously hugely disappointing to the many young people involved in the Scouts. And some people, managers within the Scout movement, said, you know, they know who the people involved and they should be got rid of very, very quickly. Got rid of very quickly, indeed, are Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding. They were two of the players cleared of rape in the big trial that went on for 9 weeks in Belfast from January till about 3 weeks ago. And then the Ulster Rugby Union and the IRFU held a review, and everybody was expecting that it was unlikely their contracts with Ulster and Ireland would be renewed. And it looks like both of them have been, well, both of them have been sacked, but it looks like Jackson could have got paid out a full contract. His contract was signed till the end of June or July next year. And he's looking now for opportunities abroad. There was talks that he was going to go to a French club, but that club has denied, you know, any the news items that have broke that Jackson, they were in talks with Jackson. So they may find it hard to find a club that will take them on. They're good rugby players, but all the information that came out over the during the rape trial, certainly some of the WhatsApp messages, etc., will have not gone down too well in Ireland. And you know, there's still disappointment in certain sectors in Ulster. Fans of Jackson and Olding wanted them to be selected and continue playing for Ulster, and many of them say they won't renew their memberships. And a former Great Irish, Ulster and Lions player, John McBride, obviously got some bad advice last week, and he went on national radio saying that they should be reinstated and they should move on from what the events that happened in that fateful night in June 2016. But as somebody said the other day when he was doing the interview with Sean O'Rourke on the radio, get the shovel from very quickly, because he was digging a bigger hole with every sentence that he uttered. And for a man that has such a great reputation in rugby, let himself down very badly by going in to talk about you know, what should happen to these players now that they were found not guilty. A lot of court action taking place at the moment, an investigation that somebody, there was a breach of privacy relating to about 19 members and former journalists that used to work for INM, Independent News and Media. And a headline of the Irish Times today says, INM should be run for O'Brien and Desmond, the two biggest shareholders. So there's a big court case going on and investigation, legal arguments on that at the moment. Right, up next we're going to have a chat to Tony Allen from Foster and Allen. As I said, I went to see them the last night, and also with them touring is the three members in their band, Ollie from Kilkenny from Mullingar, another man, Paul, from Ballinamore Bridge, and a lady from Scotland. They all have their own albums. So Ollie Kennedy gave me a copy of his album last night, and here he is singing The Fields of Athenry.
Wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they have taken you away, or you stole Trevelyan's corn. So the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the be. No life, the views of Northern Rhine, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. My lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebelled, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Oh, life, the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely harbor wall, she watched the last star falling. As the prison ship sailed out against the sky. But she lives in hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Lowly the fields of Athenry, where once such the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. Round the fields of Athenry, lowly the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Lord, it's lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Yes, the Fields of Athenry. I know that's a popular song on the programme here, and that was sung there by Ollie Kennedy. He's one of the members, the backing members of the Foster and Allen band that are touring New Zealand at the moment. And after the next song, we'll be talking to Tony Allen, the Allen of the Foster and Allen. And not far from where they grew up, or where Tony lives in Mullingar, was great excitement when a local man whose horse won the Grand National at Aintree on Saturday. Tiger Roll, it was the smallest horse in the group of 40 horses that started and owned by Ryanair Chief Executive Michael O'Leary. And the horse was ridden by Cork rookie Davy Russell, and Davy had 13 attempts at the Grand National and just got there from another Irish bred horse on the line literally on Saturday. And the prize money for first prize was £680,000 or euro. And the following day, Davy was back in Cork racing in Youghal for a race that had, I think, about €7,000 stakes. But a nice little bit of video of Michael O'Leary coming back in a Ryanair scheduled flight, and Davy was on the plane, and he took the microphone and announced that Davy was on the plane and said that he'd shout one drink and one drink only for everybody. So there was some nice pictures of the horse on Sunday when it was paraded round Summerhill County Meath. Tiger Roll, following the success of the Grand National, certainly one of those iconic racing events. Okay, we'll hit the road again with After All These Years and come back and have a chat to Tony Allen.
My darling, come to me, sit you down easily and rest a while near the soft firelight. Cold is the night, but warm is my heart with pride, having you by my side. You're still my guiding light after all these years. Your soft assuring ways, the rock I lean on, saw me through my darkest days when all hope had gone. You're still the only one I'll ever hold near, and I after all these years. Time from me passes on, and I'm growing old. A lifetime nearly gone, I cannot unfold. Night's dark and cold, but warm is your hand in mine. Feeble with ageless time, the light of love still shines after all these years. Your soft assuring ways, the rock I lean on, saw me through my darkest days when all hope had gone. You're still the only one I'll ever hold near, and I love you after all. I still love you after all these years.
A country dog once came to town. His Christian name was Pete. His pedigree was 10 yards long, and his looks were hard to beat. And as he toddled down the road, it was beautiful to see his work on every corner, his work on every tree. He watered every gateway. Pete never missed a post, for piddling was his masterpiece, and piddling was his boast. The city dog stood looking on with deep and jealous rage, to see a simple country dog, the piddler of his age. They sniffed him over one by one, they sniffed him two by two, while noble Pete in high disdain stood still till they were through. And as the crowd all cheered him on, their praise for him ran high. But when one sniffed him underneath, he pitted in his eye. Just to show the city dogs, he didn't care a damn. He strolled into a grocery store and he piddled on the ham. He piddled on the onions. He piddled on the floor. And when the grocer kicked him out, he piddled against the door. The city dogs all gathered round and debated what they would do. So they held a piddling contest to show Pete who was who. They started out with many a wink to wear the stranger down and showed him every piddling post he knew about the town. But Pete was with them all the way, with vigour and with vim. 1,000 piddles more or less were all the same to him. And on went noble Pete, with his hind legs kicking high, while most were lifting legs in bluff and piddling awful threat. Till and on went mighty Pete to water every sandhill, until he ran the city dogs right down to a standstill. Then Pete an exhibition gave of all the ways to piddle, like double drips.
It's another song there from Ollie Kennedy, who's part of the group that's with Foster and Allen, and he's got his own CD out, the triple CD. If you're out there going to see the concerts over the next few weeks, look out for the CDs that are being sold. Welcome along. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling. We're broadcasting here on Planet FM in Auckland. Our delayed broadcast going out in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch. And as I've been promoting for the last few weeks, Foster and Allen started their tour of New Zealand on Friday last in Tauranga, and they've played Auckland and Hamilton, and later this week they're playing in New Plymouth, Palmerston North, then they head down to the South Island, and we're pleased to have a chat to one part of the Foster and Allen group, Tony Allen, on the programme tonight as they prepare for their next show. Tony, you're very welcome to New Zealand.
Thank you very much, sir. Holly, God bless you. Fair play to you.
You're back again. How many times have you been here before? I met you last night.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I know we toured Australia 19 times. I'd say this would be about our 14, maybe 15th time to New Zealand.
And are you touring Australia as part of this tour as well?
No, the last this tour and the last tour were just completely New Zealand. We toured Australia last year. And then 2 years prior to that, we were here on tour. We used to always do the two together, but we'd sort of decided to break them up because what was happening is we were only getting over to New Zealand for maybe two or three shows, and we just felt that we'd like to do a little bit more, do a few more towns here, you know.
Brilliant, and you're doing a big, extensive tour of New Zealand this time, and the shows have gone well so far.
Very, very good, thanks to the God. Yeah.
But at least there's an Allen coming here every couple of years as well, along with Daniel O'Donnell. Your wife, Katrina, was with Daniel last year and here before. Right. I had the pleasure of meeting her, and they're travelling as well, you said, in the UK next week, yeah?
They're starting next week in the UK, yeah. We actually both get home the same day. If I get back from New Zealand and she gets back from the UK the same day, yeah.
So, Tony, tell us a bit about Foster and Allen. When did you start? When did you get into the music?
Well, I've been in the music business. I started in the music business in the mid-60s. I was local bands around home. I was going to school in Mount Temple and Moat, which is the centre of Ireland. And then I there was a band near me called the Marylanders, and I used to go into the chap that owned the band or ran the band. I used to go into his house at night to hear them rehearse. And Mick Foster was part of that band. And about 15 years of age, I was playing the guitar, and I joined the band, and we played together for a couple of years. And then Kieran Kelly had a band in Athlone, a big band, which was fronted by a man called Brendan Shine. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes,
Brendan.
Yes.
Well, Brendan was leaving Kieran's band to form his own band, and a man called Kevin Sheeran, who you might have seen with Daniel a few times, Kevin was with Kieran's band, and he suggested to Kieran that he take me on as a singer. And Billy Burgoyne, who finished up playing drums. Actually, Kevin, when we parted with Kieran Kelly in the late 60s, Kevin and Billy formed the Rail Anam and the Hillbillies. That was the band they formed. And, of course, they went on from strength to strength in Ireland. And then I got back again. I was playing with a Mayo man, funny enough, Doc Carroll, for a while in the early 70s. And when I was with Doc, Doc left and went on to another band, and Mick Foster joined the band. And after we were, you know, Mick had this idea, he wanted to start a two-piece like the Alexander Brothers. So he persuaded me to leave the show band scene and go on to Cabaret scene. And that was 1975, and that's when it became history from there on, you know.
And I grew up in Kilcairn, nearest town. I went to school in Glenamaddy, and there was a famous dance hall there, the Sound of Music Club. So when you started, like, there was dance halls over the west of Ireland when you were in the band. That's where you played rather than cabaret-type things.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the days of Doc Carroll and Kieran Kelly, it was all dances, yeah. And then as soon as we started Fossing, and we were lucky because in the 70s, a lot of the dance scene had gone quiet, and a lot of the bands had broken up and formed groups, you know, like Just Four and Misty and groups like that, which became cabaret acts. And Brendan Grace, of course, started around that time, and you know, Paddy Riley and people like that, the Wolf Tones, the Furies, they all come on board kind of in the 70s. And the cabaret scene in Ireland, which was a great pub scene, then became a great cabaret circuit through the 70s into the early 80s. We did all that. And then, of course, we recorded a bunch of time in 79, and that went to number one in Ireland. So that sort of changed everything in that. So it not changed so much as things got better in Ireland, but then Donny Cassidy, our record company, CMR Records in Dublin, whom we're still with, actually, he took the record to London to Ritz Records and released it, and it went into number 18 in the British charts, and we got a spot on Top of the Pops, and that just changed the whole thing, you know, completely.
But when I was young, there was only RT1, Radio 1 for a long time, and there was only literally, you know, they did a top 10, I think. There was very little music. Where did you get your music played, you know, when you were in the show bands? Like,
the show band scene was hard because, as you say, at any RT1, you know. But in fairness, RT1 in those days, they did play a fair bit of that. The sponsored programmes.
That's right.
Every day from 2 to 3, you know. And they were very, very good, and they played all the Irish music. But then, in the late 70s, the Radio 2 started, and then you had RTE2 television, and of course TG Carr started. So things began to open up. And then when we hit the British scene, you know, Terry Wogan and Gloria Hunniford played all our stuff off the air on Radio 2 in the UK and BBC Radio 2. And of course that was a huge introduction to the British concert scene. And then once you cracked the British concert scene, you automatically became bigger in Ireland. You know, it was a... And then, of course, in 82, 83, Ken Harding, who, I don't know if you met Ken last night, Ken's from Sydney in Australia, Ken had a record company called Powderworks, and he picked up Maggie and released it in Australia and New Zealand, and, of course, it was number one for, I think, 5 weeks in both places.
That's right, yeah.
That started the whole ball rolling over here for us, you know. And we were lucky then, very, very lucky to have songs like I Will Love You All My Life and After All These Years and Old Flames, and, you know, they were great songs. They got loads and loads of radio play everywhere, and, you know, the albums all took off, and all sold. First, we had an album in the British charts every year from 83 right up to 99.
And did you write your own stuff, or do people write it?
We didn't really. We got a lot of old folk songs and traditional songs, and you had loads of people writing stuff, as I said, like Kevin Shearer and Ollie Kennedy, who you played there. Ollie and a friend of his, Bear Coleman, wrote After All These Years, you know. So there was loads of people writing very good stuff. And there's a great scene at home at the moment of young artists like Derek Ryan and Nathan Carter and people like that. And they're all writing their own stuff and getting it's really good stuff, you know. So the music scene, people keep calling the country music scene, but it's actually a music scene in Ireland at the moment. Like of Nathan Carter, it's all, you know, kids from 5, 10, 20, 30 years of age, they're all coming out to see them, you know.
And you're right, like, never before, it started 2 years ago, and they're doing it again Friday night, the Late Late Show, dedicating it completely to country music, and I know that the show rates very well, and, you know... And a man that is synonymous with country music in Ireland packed the Sound of Music every time he came. Big Tom. Big Tom is still going strong. Like, he doesn't play much, but he's still alive and well.
But Tom is, he's legend. A legend now himself. And Philomena Megley, of course, they are the two country music legends, you know, and people like Ray Lynham and all them. But music is still huge. It's very much it's an Irish thing. People love dancing. Even when I was growing up, there was sessions in the house, like, in be only maybe an accordion player or an accordion player and a fiddle player, but whatever amount of people will be there, they'll be out dancing all night, you know, and they haven't lost that. In the 80s and 90s a bit, they went from the dance halls to the nightclubs, and I suppose they didn't dance as much, but now they're back dancing again, the very same as at them.
And you had a recording studio that a lot of show bands recorded in Moat in your day.
Yeah, and it's still there actually. Seamus Cullinan, who's our sound engineer, Seamus still runs it. Seamus and I started that back in the late 80s. And I moved away when I got married at 3, and I moved up Northern Ireland with Seamus. Took over the whole thing, and he still runs the studio, and it's very, very busy when he's not on the road. So we do all our own recording there as well, you know, and it's great, gives us a chance to get in.
And in Ireland, where do you play? When I was at home and at Christmas, you were playing in Tuam the week after I came back, so you did a month or so of touring around Ireland,
did
you?
Yeah, and the scene in Ireland is great because after the, whatever you want to call it, the building game, like Ireland had, first of all, we got great new roads in Ireland. We also got, every town has got a very, very decent big hotel now. And all the big hotels are doing great deals around Christmas where we could run a show, say, in Tuam or in Galway City or in Dublin. And, you know, people will come out for the night and they'll do a deal where you can stay over, get a couple, maybe, you know, somebody's father and mother or granny and grandfather, and they'll come out and they can stay over for the night and then come to the show and they can, you know, have a drink afterwards and things like that. And that's a big scene in Ireland at the moment.
I know the show last night was very good. There was 1,500 people in Auckland. I know you packed out Tauranga the first two nights, and interaction from the audience is quite good. So that makes you feel good being up there on the stage.
Oh, it's wonderful, and the New Zealand audience are very, very good. And I was saying the other day to somebody, like, I noticed here that how friendly people are. I mean, that was the way it was in Ireland back when we were growing up. Everybody you met, you spoke to them, whether you knew them or not, you know. We've lost that a little bit at home now. I suppose it's the fact that we've got a lot of people coming into the country. But, I mean, it's great here, whether when you walk down the street or who you meet, to speak to you and keep going, you know. And I think that's a nice thing, and it's very important.
So 40 years on the road, you go for another 10, make it 50?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. 43, actually, this year now. So, yeah, we'll hopefully make it 50 if we can at all, yeah.
And as we talked there, Brendan Shine earlier, he celebrated 50 years on the road. And a good friend of mine wrote songs for both of you that you both recorded. John Duggan, who was a guard in Glen when I was growing up.
That's right. And John was great. John was a great song. John wrote, to me, one of the best songs ever written was the old Threshing Mill, you know. I mean, I grew up, my father used to work with the Threshing, with the man who had the Threshing Mill, and I put that. And he wrote it in 3 minutes, he explained and described the full Fashion, which was an event every year, you know, when it came to the countryside. John, great songwriter. He wrote The Roads of Kildare, and he wrote some great songs for Brendan Shine as well.
Yeah, well, I'm hopefully I do play. I've got all your arms here. I better look for that. The old track. I have it here. We'll play that. We're coming out next, and I'll make sure that I get this link to this program to John, because it was nice that we met last night. You had kind things to say about him. So you're in Hamilton, and then you're heading down to South Island. I know there's a lot of interest in country music down the deep south here. So you'd be looking forward to going down to Invercargill, Dunedin, Christchurch, and Timaru, and Ashburton, and places like that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and the weather is beautiful, and, you know, it couldn't be better. Thanks be to God.
Good. Well, look, great to talk to you, and as I say, we'll play this song, The Old Threshing Mill, and written by John Duggan. And when did you record this?
Oh, gosh, we recorded it way back. I'd say it was definitely in the 80s anyway, you know.
You look very young on the cover of the albums. Not that you don't look too bad now, but I'm looking at the cover of that album after all these years.
You were very, very young then.
So you were, yeah. Well, Tony, great to talk to you, and good luck for the rest of the tour.
Thank you.
And
very much.
Thanks to Dennis and the team for putting me in touch with you.
Absolutely.
And look
and
forward
thanks for coming in last night. Yeah. Saying hello to us.
No, it was really, really, really good. So, you know, it was nice. And I must mention Tom Gilmore from Tuam, worked in the Tuam Herald for a long time. Tom has a lot of time for you guys as well.
Long, 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 long time.
Yeah, very good.
Great man.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Tony.
All right,
bye now. Bye now.
Much.
Here we go. Bye now.
As I walk down the road on this fine autumn morn, I can see the great combine collecting the corn, and my mind wanders back in a moment of joy to the day of the thresher when I all over the valley you could hear the strange sound of that mighty machine. On its annual round, all the men in the townland would follow at will, and they'd all lend a hand with the old threshing mill. So boil up the bacon and the cabbage that's green, plenty of spuds laced with butter between, for eight empty bellies will soon need a fill.
for it makes a man hungry, the old threshing mill. There were two on the thresher and two on the stack, and the man with the fork kept the straw flying back. There were bottles of porter and plenty of bags, and old Larry Andy looked after the bags. Then a few of the boys built the straw in the reek, while the young ones had fun playing hide and go seek. And myself and my brother with the dogs and the cats had the time of our lives chasing after the rats. So boil up the bacon and the cabbage does green, have plenty of spuds laced with butter between. For 8 empty bellies will soon need a fill, for it makes a man hungry, the old fashioned mill. But the times keep on changing and nothing stands still. Larry Andy is gone, like his old thrashing mill. And most of the workers I knew as a child have reaped the great harvest for which they have toiled. No more in the valley will hear that machine, for just like the corncrake, they're gone from the scene. But it makes me feel sad as I dream of it still, for I loved the dear sound of the old thrashing mill. So boil up the bacon and the cabbage that's green, have plenty of spuds laced with butter between. For 8 empty bellies will soon need a fill, for it makes a man hungry, the old thrashing mill. For it makes hungry, the old thrashing mill.
Yes, well, I'm sure you'll hear that song if you're able to attend one of the concerts of Foster and Allen. Just to remind you, in the area that we're being heard of, they're playing in Christchurch on the 26th of April. That's tomorrow week, down there at the Isaac Theatre Royal. Then they're in Ashburton the following night, the 27th of April, at the Ashburton Trust Event Centre. Timaru on Saturday, the 28th of April, at the Theatre Royal. Invercargill on the 29th, and then they're in Dunedin on Tuesday the 1st of May at the Town Hall, and then they come back to the North Island to Napier on the 5th of May, and they finish their tour of New Zealand on the 6th of May in Wellington. And there, before we play that song, The Old Thrashing Mill, written by John Duggan, we spoke to Tony, and it was nice to catch up with him before the concert in Auckland on Tuesday, Monday night last. And I know that if you were one of the lucky people to win tickets, I hope you enjoy the concert when you go to see them. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on Wednesday night out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland, Access Radio Wellington, Capital Coast Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch, and the programme brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. And hopefully, wherever you're listening, you're enjoying the programme tonight. Well, it's a big weekend for Irish rugby this weekend. I'm sure everybody will be delighted to leave the negative news that's been in the news over the last few weeks since the trial in Northern Ireland finished, and the sacking, basically, of the two rugby players that played for Ulster and Ireland. It's now time to get on to the European Cup, Champions Cup semi-finals, big games. You've got Munster against Racing 99, or 92, that game in Bordeaux, and then Leinster, who were beaten by Benetton in the Pro 14 competition last weekend, but they've certainly qualified for the playoffs, and that no problem. They hopefully will need one more point to be guaranteed a home semi-final, but they're playing the big game against Scarlets, the Welsh team coached by former Auckland coach Wayne Pivac. And that game being played at the Aviva Stadium, it'll be a sellout stadium there on Sunday. They're the big games. And then not far around the corner, the Gaelic Championship football will get underway. A lot of club matches taking place at the moment because the All-Ireland Hurling and Football Finals are going to take place earlier this year. So there's a condensed period of club matches first, and then the championship gets underway in a few weeks' time. And don't forget, you can watch all the Gaelic football matches on gaago.ie. And we know here it's been announced that the next Rugby World Cup will be shown on via the internet and with Spark. So, you know, gaago.ie, they've got all the games and you can watch it on your laptop, your iPhone, any phone with internet connections, and you can link your computer into your television. So if you want a subscription or you want to buy individual matches, you go on to gaago.ie and they've got all the different packages there. Right, take another bit of music here. We'll move it on to Jigs and Rails now. Yes, Altan there, and a nice piece of music, Jigs and Rails there. Welcome along. Hope you're enjoying the programme. We've got about 15 minutes left on the show tonight. The show is Ireland Calling, brought to you to support each week of the Hugh Green Group. If you're living on the North Shore and you'd like to go see a movie in aid of a good cause, it's called the movie's called The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society. It's a historical drama romance. And you can see it at the Bridgeway Theatre, Northcote Point, on Monday the 30th of April in fundraiser for DePaul House, which homes, you know, its emergency accommodation there on almost opposite St Mary's Church in Northcote. So if you want tickets for that, you could contact DePaul House on 480-5959, 480-5959, as well as the cost of the movie. You'll get a complimentary glass of wine or a cup of tea or an ice cream, and there's a raffle prize on the door in aid of DePaul House. The movie is called The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. There you go. Right, what else is happening in the papers? Of course, the events that took place in Syria, the US-led bombing of the chemical factories gets a lot of publicity in all the papers, of course, around the world, including Ireland. And there's pictures of Russian soldiers yesterday looking at the ruins of some of buildings that were destroyed. So let's hope that common sense prevails in all of this and that these people can sit down and negotiate. Shocking to see the events that's happened in Syria, which was once a beautiful country, over the last 6-7 years. Millions of people displaced and over 500,000 people killed. And yet the dictator man is still there living in opulence, etc. And the world just stands by while this civil war rages on. But there's a bigger game at play, and there seems to be no willingness on the major powers, I'm talking Russia and the US and indeed the UN, to put an end to the terrible atrocity that's happened there. But let's hope it doesn't lead to another major escalation in war between some of the bigger nations. And it looks like that there's certainly indications from Russia that they're not going to stay calm very much longer if people continue to attack one of their allies, as in Syria. Right, there's a few tribunals going on in Ireland. The Charlton Tribunal, which is looking into the allegations against the former Garda whistleblower Maurice McCabe. And I see here that former ministers Pat Rabbit and Micheál, they were at the Charlton Tribunal in Dublin Castle yesterday giving evidence on what they see is the wrongdoing that was done to Sergeant Maurice McCabe and the former Chief Commissioner of the Garda, Garda Callaghan. It says here that Martin Callaghan, his smear allegation has been denied by him. Right, what else has been happening in Ireland? As I said, the weather is improving. There's a terrible lot of stories here relating to court cases. No point talking about them. And of course, it's confirmed the referendum to amend the Constitution of Ireland, Article 8 of the Irish Constitution, to amend it, takes place at the end of May. And, of course, there's lots of canvassing done by both the pro-life and pro-abortion organisations in Ireland. So the government have said they will respect the wishes of the Irish community, and most people expect that the referendum will carry probably in the margin of 60-40 to change the Article 8 of the Constitution. But, following on from the referendum that took place about 3 years ago to legislate for same-sex marriage in Ireland, more and more young people will be out there to vote, and it looks like they'll be voting for change on that front, but we'll have to wait and see. Right, what are we going to do this time? We'll have another song from Ollie Kennedy. Lovely man, a nice chat to Ollie last night, and I think I pressed the wrong song there. That one's Peddling Pete. Well, we've got a nice song here which is all about my mother's old rosary beads. So right, we'll hit a button here and hopefully this will play. Take it away, Ollie.
From the earliest dreams of my childhood, there's one object that stands above all. It will always stay fresh in my memory, as through life its great powers I recall. In the work-worn hands of a lady, as for heavenly guidance she pleaded, she left it to me for to treasure, my mother's old rosary. With reverence she fingered each decade, and prayed for her neighbor's good health, for the poor and the old and the needy, with each of their troubles she dealt. For the folk who've gone on before her, that the Lord would attend each one's needs. I'm sure that the angels were listening to my mother and her. By the old shogun chair she is kneeling, and each picture comes back to my mind, saying patters and aves and glorias, and remembering all of mankind. I'm sure I will meet her in heaven, where God will reward all good deeds. And their Joseph and Mary,
and in her hands her own rosary beads. In her hands her own rosary beads.
Yes, that was a song called My Mother's Old Rosary Beads, there, sung by Ollie Kennedy. Ollie's one of the group travelling with Foster and Allen, touring New Zealand at the moment. Righto, we'll take another song here and come back with some bits of more news. Yes, the teetotaler there, another reel. Right, we got about 5 minutes to go. Just on the farming, from the Farming Independent on Tuesday, good news for Ireland, as China has announced earlier this week on Monday that it's to allow Irish beef exporters to export beef to China, and this could be worth 100 million euro this year, but that could grow substantially over the coming years. Of course, China, since the BSE scare came in, has refused to take any exports or beef exports from the European Union, but it's opened the gates for Ireland, so that's good news. On the front of the Farming Independent on Tuesday. Lots of stories in there still about the bad weather, and picture here of fodder being unloaded at the port of Cork, and bales in the northwest are selling for over 60 euro a bale. I presume these are the big bales. I hope they're not the small square bales that we used to have, but no, probably the big bales. And the various co-ops have subsidised, you know, the importation of food from other European countries over the last week. So hopefully the weather is improving. I'm just looking here what the weather says for this week. It looked like it was certainly going to be a bit better than last week, and some even talked about a little bit of a heat wave coming later in the week. So that'll be very good news for Irish farmers, especially that have ran out of fodder for their livestock, but also have, you know, their land is not able to cope with the big cattle going out onto the fields if they're wet. The grass that's grown there won't last too long. What else has been happening in Ireland? As I said, not a lot on the political front. There was rumours at the weekend that certain members of Fianna Fáil are unhappy with news last week that Micheál Martin says that he'd be happy to look at supporting the coalition government beyond a third budget. And a number of Fianna Fáil TDs have expressed disappointment in that. But everybody's waiting to see what happens. Minister for Finance says, Pascal Donoghue, he's looking forward to bringing in another budget in October. And he hopes that an arrangement can be made with the Fianna Fáil to keep supporting the government. But of course, the man that we interviewed here a few weeks ago, unfortunately the interview didn't get to air, Jim Daly, he was in the news. He gave an interview with Hot Press, and he basically said that Fine Gael would possibly negotiate with Sinn Féin to form a government after the next election, if that the way the numbers stacked up. And Mary Lou MacDonald said she would talk to Leo Varadkar, but a lot of Fine Gael supporters are very disappointed to think that they would negotiate with Sinn Féin. Fianna Fáil has ruled out negotiating with Sinn Féin as well to form a government after the next election. But when the cards are all stacked up, and if Sinn Féin have more seats than they have now, and they'd hold the balance of power, you never know what negotiations takes place. Right, well, that's about it. I'll leave you tonight with another song. This is the one that the boys got on the top of the pops with a bunch of time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to the Hugh Green Group for your continued support. And I'll be back next week with another edition of Ireland Calling.
Come on, you maidens, young and fair. All you that are blooming in your prime, always beware and keep your garden fair. Let no man steal away your time, for time it is a precious thing, and time brings all things to my mind. Time with all its labors, along with all all things to my mind. Once she had a bunch of time, she thought it never would decay. Then came a lusty sailor who chanced to pass her way. He stole her bunch of time away. The sailor gave to her a rose, a rose that never to keep her reminded of when he stole her time away. So come on.